Rick Emerson radio program. Thank you for coming by. Kara Dillon is 26 years old today. We are endeavoring to make her feel younger by talking about things that she is too young to possibly have remembered. We got an email here from...
Come on!
Todd the Corpse. Happy birthday, Sarah. Don't feel bad about being closer to 30 than 20. Because I, says Todd, hit the worst of all birthdays this year. 31. I know that pain. 31 is worse than 30 because now I'm in my 30s as opposed to just being 30. That's the thing, is I thought turning 30 would really F me up, and it didn't. Remember that? Was you there? We did that at Billy Reed's?
Oh, yeah, I was there.
I thought that would really bum me out. I was like, oh, I'm 30. But no, but it was 31. 31 was the hard year. Mm-hmm. Now it's all just a long, easy downward slide.
So it's
slide.
Still 5 years for that one.
Yes.
So I'm okay.
Yes, you do.
I don't mind being in my mid to late 20s.
You know what?
That's okay.
So you know what sucked was being 29 because then you had the pre-30 dread. And then being 31 sucked. Being 30, you know, being 28, especially, you're like, it's a couple years away. Being 30, it actually isn't that bad because it's almost like it makes up for itself in that you can complain about it so much. It gives you like a cool thing to, oh boy, the big 3-0 this year. And it gives you like a thing you can kvetch about. But then when you're 31, it's no longer even interesting. That's what sucks about 31. When you're 30, at least it's sort of funny. Right, like you get the over-the-hill cards, and everybody can go, oh, yeah, 30 years old, saying goodbye to my youth.
But 31 is no laughing matter?
Yeah, it's like when you're 30, you can sort of be like a martyr drama queen about it, you know? But when you're 31, you're just old. There's no, you are a 30-something. So, anyway, he says, here are some questions for the Do You Remember Sarah Dillon quiz. Do you remember, oh, I know the answer to these. Do you remember Eddie Murphy being funny?
Yeah, with that one movie.
But he says not seeing old footage or movies of him, but being contemporarily funny.
No,
see, that's the thing. Yeah, that's the difference. Oh, no. That's like you can go back and see things from when he was.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't remember like a new Eddie Murphy project being hilarious, do you?
No.
How sad. And how sad that he's only like 35 or some crap. Does Sarah Dillon remember? Picture pages. Your look says it all.
I don't think so.
You have no idea. Picture pages, and get your picture.
No.
And your pens and your pencils.
What are picture pages?
Tilda Cosby does another picture page with you.
Oh.
You don't remember, do you?
No.
Do you remember, let's see, what else? Do you remember the McMartin preschool molestation scandal? Sarah, do you remember that molestation scandal?
I can't say that rings a bell.
Speaking of molestation scandals, when is Delaine coming in today?
Bam! 2 o'clock, 2:30.
I say that because she just moved to Wenatchee, and everybody who is my age group remembers Wenatchee, Washington for that reason only. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, she's hanging out with Muppet today. And for my birthday, Nate bought me the entire series, that box set of Sex in the City.
Really?
Oh, my God. My head almost exploded. Yeah, so she's sitting at home, you know, de-virginizing it. She's watching as many as she can get in until okay. She comes in to visit.
Okay. No, I was just going to say, why the rush? She's got many, many, many long Wenatchee years ahead of her. Don't watch that whole Sex in the City box set now. Stretch it out. Make it last. You want to have something to watch next year. And the year after. And the year after that.
Her and Kevin are so grown up.
They're, and the year after that.
She was going to have to go home to start buying a house today. Like, they're doing some house purchasing thing.
In Wenatchee. Okay.
Yeah, and she already misses him. She's been gone 2 days. She's like, well, I feel bad for Kevin because he's there all by himself. I'm like, you've been in Portland for 2 days.
Seriously.
For my birthday.
All right. She is relentlessly adult. We got Ed McCarthy from CNN coming up at some point here. Let's see. Later on, we got more of Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, Jim Roop, Peter Carlin, etc. I'm just going to go through these in no particular order. We are endeavoring to make Sarah Dillon feel younger today by listing things she could not possibly remember. Terry from Tigard, what's up?
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
Thank you, Terry from
Tigard. I wanted to know if you remember those hideous jellies.
Like the jelly shoes?
Yes.
Yes, I had those.
Really?
The day glow, terrible colors that gave you nothing but blisters.
Yes, I had the clear ones with the plastic, with the sparkles in them.
Oh.
I loved
those. That's fantastic. Excellent. Good time.
I thought maybe she wouldn't remember those.
No, clothing, it's going to be difficult on clothing because Sarah, I think, was a fashion plate, for good or bad.
With my hypercolor t-shirts.
Wait, did you have hypercolor?
And my Tim Noah Slimes jean jacket.
Oh, God. Oh, hypercolor. That was something that was popular for like a week and a half. That was that was where it changed colors with your body heat, right?
Yes. Yeah, all the boys would wear them and their armpits would turn bright orange.
Yeah, totally. Because your armpits would just be all purple. Yeah, that was no good. All right, thank you, Terry.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. In just a second, we'll talk to to Domination Map Dave about this party, this fight that happened at the Sabalas. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the Dirty South our good friend, CNN radio correspondent, Ed McCarthy. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I nodded off a little bit there. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Don't worry. Oh, not on hold, you mean? Oh, just in general.
No. In general, I just went, whoa, it's 4:06 Eastern here. Sorry about that, but we're here.
That's okay. We've been passing the time by endeavoring to make Sarah Dillon feel younger on this, her birthday, by listing things that...
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Ed McCarthy.
We're trying to list things that she's too young to possibly remember. And so that simultaneously makes us feel old and makes her feel young. So, you know, what are you going
to
do?
Let
me ask you this, sir. Do you remember putting regular gas in a car?
I always do.
No.
See? Yeah. Sarah does not have any recollection of leaded gasoline. Yeah. All right.
Oh, I know. Oh, the regular gas.
That's what I'm saying.
I was thinking regular and leaded. Absolutely, I do. Sure.
See, regular now doesn't mean what regular used to. And I don't know when. I don't know what year that happened. I don't know when they stopped selling leaded gas. But but every gas is unleaded now, and it didn't used to be that way. When I was young, you would buy regular gas, and that meant that it was the regular leaded kind that killed everybody everywhere. So,
yeah, was it like 74 or something like that?
No, I don't think so, because I remember how we are old now. Because I remember putting a regular gas in my car when I was at least a teenager. So, God, they had to have been selling in the late 80s at least. I really don't know.
Yeah.
I got nothing. Oh, speaking of gas, though, and this really was not an intentional segue, but this actually is what you're talking about. So it says here, I'm reading from the prep sheet here, it says the gas prices declined. Is this true that gas is down? I mean, I say it as though it's somehow not still outrageously expensive, but it's down, what, like 15 cents, 20 cents, something like that?
Well, it is, but now it's going to be going up again.
See?
And that's the whole thing. You wouldn't believe it. I got it for, well, you think it's a big bargain now. Saturday, I got it for $1.93. It was at one of those supermarkets with the pumps, you know?
Right.
And you get the card and whatever. That was really good. So, you know, today it was in Georgia, which, of course, obviously, you know, now it's a little better than it used to be. We were real high for a while. We were always the lowest, and you can't figure the stupid thing out. Today it was up again. I said, did it go up? And he says, no. He says, it didn't go up. This is another station.
Well, you know,
go ahead. Bottom line is, what they're going to do now is, this is the same, you know, we get caught in this trap. Now they're going to start knocking down the refineries. They're going to cut back on the winter blend gasoline so that they focus now on the home heating oil. And that means that, obviously, we'll take a hit on that again. It'll go up again.
Heating oil, man. I got an oil furnace, you know, in my house, and it is like $4.80 a gallon or some crap. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's insane. And the thing about the gas, I mean, here's the thing, is they do these, it's not a bait and switch, but they do with the gas the same thing they do everywhere else, where they raise the prices to some exorbitant level. So then, relatively speaking, we're supposed to gush with gratitude when they drop them by, you know, so they raise it by a buck, and then they drop it by 20 cents, and we're supposed to grovel with gratitude.
Well, there was one woman I talked to, it was really funny. This is the greatest quote. She says, well, you know, she says, they got us used to $3, they make us feel good, you know, at $2, and now it's a little under, so, you know, now we really feel good. It's just it's a psychological game.
Do they ever just come out and say, like, we're doing this because we're greedy bastards? I mean, do they even try to come up with a cover story, you know, a reason why?
They don't, but, you know, anybody you talk to, they feel that the gas now, at least, has gone down prior to the midterm election. They think there's a connection.
Yes, well.
Could there?
Oh, of course. No, don't be a cynic, Ed McCarthy. Oh, man. Hey, not to bring the room down here. I don't know if you're a Johnny Buzzkill or anything, but I want to touch real quickly. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I did read a story this morning, and this, I'm just going to mention this, and then we'll kind of let it pass. We'll move on. We'll kind of let it, because it is the definition of a story that sort of speaks for itself. Someone told me that at the funeral of this guy who killed the Amish kids, you know, his funeral happened today, the shooter. Somebody told me that about half the people in attendance at his funeral were Amish people.
They did. And they, as we were talking about this last week, they said that they would forgive him, and they went to forgive him.
You know?
And that's just the thing we talked about, how these people are just really amazing, you know, just pillars of strength that they could do that. I mean, I just personally,
well,
I couldn't do it.
No, and there was that, I mean, and again, I don't want to sit and dwell on this, because, the whole thing is just make it down if you talk about it too much. But there was this other story that came out last week, which came out, ABC News was talking about this, where they were talking to people who had been inside the classroom when this guy was doing the killing at this Amish school. And they told this story that I didn't think, because I guess I'm so cynical. In the wake of Columbine, I think especially I'm cynical, because remember at Columbine, there was that story that came out about the girl, and they went up and they said, do you believe in Jesus? And she supposedly said yes, and then they killed her, and da da da. And then it came out that it was all a scam, of course. It was all fake. And it hadn't really happened, but that the parents cash in on it with a book and, you know, with a song and whatever. And so I got, you know, it's easy to be really cynical about those kind of stories of heroism, again, because that one at Columbine, which everybody talked about, turned out to be made up. But other people who were in the classroom have confirmed this now. They've said that it was true, that as this Amish guy, or this guy, is going through this Amish classroom, and he's lining up these kids against the wall, and he's, you know, he's lining them up, these girls, and he's, you know, getting ready to dispatch them one by one, that there was this 12-year-old girl who apparently stepped forward and told the guy to shoot her first because she was trying to, like, buy time for the others. And that she just volunteered, and she's like, kill me first. And apparently her sister then did the same thing. And it was all an attempt to try to buy some time while, you know, for the cops to get there or whatever. So,
amazing.
I mean, it's just, really, I mean, you know, and that's, as much as these stories, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I'm glad for this whole thing to kind of blow over, the media just to leave these people alone, because they do kind of seem to walk the talk. You know what I mean? It's so easy. It's so easy to just be cynical and just sarcastic about people who are, you know, deeply religious or people. But you know what? You talk about some people that seem to really do it. You know, they live it. So what are you going to do?
They're good folks, and it's a shame. It's just that really the whole thing was just tragic.
Anyway. All right, well, there you go, my friend. So, Ed McCarthy, the world continues to turn. We will talk to you in the immediate future, my friend. You have a good day.
Thank you, Rick. You too, now.
There you go. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy in Atlanta. There you go. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Let's see. Well, before we get more of these calls about the Sarah Dillon and her birthday and her age and the you remember and the hey, let's welcome to the Rick Emerson Show Global Domination Map, Dave.
Hey, Rick.
How you doing,
Happy birthday, Sarah.
Thanks, David.
All right, so here's what we learned last hour, in the first hour. And by the way, there's no
that
thanks.
You're a scrapper.
No thanks to Scotty, by the way, who never told us any of this. We have to thank Amanda for calling us. All right,
yeah,
so
he was, you know, probably.
And I
remember behind me, wait, holding his drink. Just he got my back in a second, right?
And I remember sitting at the bar with Dave for a little bit, and I remember him saying something about throwing someone out, but
well, here's what we heard. So the story was from Scotty that you were because I left at like 9:30. So when did you guys leave and go to the bar?
Oh gosh,
10:30.
All right, okay.
I wasn't long after that.
All right, so you guys leave, and then because I got home around 10 or so, and I got a call from some people here at work that wanted to know how to get there. So I know it must have been about that time. So you guys leave, you go to Sabala's, and then Scotty says that he was just at the bar kind of hanging out, drinking alone, as is his wont. And he said that he just heard, in his words, a scuffle erupt behind him. He turns around. That girl Kiki is kind of on the floor. Some other people are on the floor. And he said that you are in there, quote, swinging on a guy. So what happened? What happened with the fight?
Well, you know, I'm not exactly. I don't know how it started.
Uh-huh.
It was just over by the bar, and drinks were flying, and I just grabbed the first big guy who was causing trouble.
Was it with the group? Was it with the party group, or was it just
Well, you know, I don't know who the big guy was, but I guess Kiki and the others kind of got removed. After that,
did she get kicked out?
That's why she left. I didn't see
that's
her.
That's why she left.
I was wondering why she left.
So she got. So Kiki got kicked out.
Leave.
Kiki and her man.
Yeah.
All right. So they got. Scotty is typing on the screen that you said, quote, that guy needed to go down, end quote, about the guy that you were punching.
He did. He was causing trouble. He needed to go down and go away.
Well, it's pretty impressive, my friend, because except for a guy who's very geeky, I mean,
When I get a few drinks, I mean, I get into the defender mode. I don't start fights, but I, for some reason, tend to jump in the middle of them.
You'll finish it, though. I told Sarah during the break that you did seem like you had a lot of pent-up repressed rage lurking inside it all the time, like a lot of geeks do. You'd be surprised, actually. A guy like David, Aaron, Jason Crump, those guys, you get a few drinks on them, and it's just white-hot, blinding rage that lurks inside, and they're ready to cut people's hearts out. It's true.
Yeah, you know, get the right chance.
So did the guy that you beat on, did he get kicked out?
Yeah.
All right. At any point, were girls pulling each other's hair?
Well, I don't know. I was holding down the big guy.
All right.
I'm distracted.
Do you know, was Kiki the only girl in the fight? There was someone curious about whether it started as a girl fight or not.
Yeah, I don't know. There was just this big guy, and he was throwing drinks around. He, like, knocked Celine off a bit, and I just grabbed him and pulled him back, and he wouldn't stop fighting, so I took him to the ground.
So you had to work him.
Yeah.
Awesome.
You had to give him some chin music, as they say.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I almost got into another one later on. I don't know if, Sarah, you remember there was that big guy that was, like, in a blue shirt just standing around creepily drinking?
No.
In the middle of the bar and just elbowing every guy that came by and just trying to get into a fight. Yeah. Got in words with him and then got him cut off, so.
Scotty says,
awesome.
Scotty says that guy pushed him earlier. Was that the guy that was giving you the body check, Scotty?
Yeah.
That's the guy. Okay, he was body checking Scotty when he walked. Is that the guy that pulled out your wife's chair? That was seating your wife. Yeah, that's the guy that came up and was seating Mrs. J.
Yeah,
and was all like, "Hello, let me get that chair for you, darling."
Yeah, no, he was really creepy, and then he threw an elbow at me, and I got like, got into words with him a little bit.
We're gonna make you our enforcer. We're gonna take you with us everywhere we go, Dave. All right,
well, I'm on it.
Well, Delaine will be here later on, so we'll ask her what she remembers of the fight. All right, thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Ah! So now, welcome to the Rick Emerson Show, appearing here in studio for no readily discernible reason. Our good friend, the lovely Kristen from accounting. How are you?
Just because I love Sarah.
Did you bring her birthday present?
I did. I brought her a birthday present.
Fantastic. Hey, were you at Sabala's when the fight happened?
No. I missed all the fun.
Me too. I didn't see it either. I guess I was right there.
All right. Well, we're trying to get a handle on what happened, but it's all very
it's all very
nebulous so far.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, let's. While you're here, let's take a couple of these. Mike, you're.
Yeah.
Scotty's saying that Sarah was too busy on the pool table. Mike, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hello, Rick.
Hello, Mike.
I got some things I think might stump Sarah here.
All right. We're attempting to make Sarah feel young by listing things that she can't possibly remember.
Okay, I will. I'm only 28, and I barely remember these. I got Stompers.
Stompers. Dude, I was all about those when I was like, I don't know, like 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th grade.
Yep. Stompers were the things. Do you remember those?
Do you remember those?
No.
Well, she's not a boy, though.
Are you talking about the romper Stompers?
Those are those inflatable punching things. Is that what you're talking about?
From Romper Room, where you used to have these little things that you would put over your feet. They were like...
Stilts or something?
Yeah, but they were like little upside-down pails, plastic pails, and they had handles on them so you could put your feet in and walk
around.
Really?
Can I just tell you this? I didn't have Romper Room when I was growing up. I know you all did, but I didn't. I didn't have Romper Room or Ramblin' Rod because, you know, there was just nothing. Like, we didn't have that. All I had was Star Blazers, so I had nothing. No,
what were Stompers?
Stompers? Well, see, and you're kind of screwed on this, though, being a woman. You wouldn't remember these anyway. It's a guy thing. Stompers
were
little, tiny, battery-operated, like, monster trucks. And they were the first, and the kids today are really spoiled. They weren't there. They weren't there when these innovations, they've always grown up in a world where you had these, like, super-powered little tiny cars. But the thing that made Stompers different is they were, again, they came, because the 80s were sort of a golden age for monster trucks. That's when Bigfoot and the Gravedigger and all those monster trucks first came out. So they were little versions of that, and the big selling point of a Stomper was that they could climb over anything.
And they could go in water, too.
And they could go in water, because the tires had such deep tread that they functioned as sort of paddles.
That's right. Hey, I got one that might be, it's for boys and girls.
Yes, is it Slinky?
No, it's
I'm
not.
Sorry, it was too easy. All right, is it?
Yeah, that was bad. The commercials for Bonkers Candy.
Bonkers Candy. Bonkers was like that candy that had that weird center in it, right?
Yeah. And it
was
so when you ate it, they had big fruit fell on your head.
I do remember that. And it had the old woman in it, too.
That's right.
All right. There you go. See?
She feels better already.
I don't remember any of these things. Sarah probably also does not remember the Western-themed commercials for Hubba Bubba Bubblegum.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's a big one.
That's
yeah.
what I'm saying. That's, see, there you go. That's, see, shows like this are perfect because they play to the only real skill I have, which is a big card catalog in my head full of crap that no one will ever use again.
We're using it right now.
All right, there you go. Thank you, sir. Mm-hmm.
All right, happy birthday, Sarah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye.
All right, it's 503-733-2970. Let's see here. We've got, this is from Chris. Damn, in an attempt to make Sarah feel younger, all the things being mentioned have made me feel old. I had to hang up because everyone before me listed things that were on my mind at the time. Does Sarah remember? Oh, yeah. Does Sarah remember the show about the dog entitled? Not
Can
Benji.
Can you narrow that down?
It was like Benji.
Clifford?
It was a poor man's Benji. It was the Hydrox to Benji's Oreo. It was Boomer. Do you remember the show Hello Boomer?
Oh.
Yeah.
Hello Boomer?
I never
watched it.
Was
like, what the hell
though.
Kind of dog was that? Was like a Shih Tzu or something?
Because Benji was bigger than a Shih Tzu.
I don't know.
It was a mutt kind of thing.
It was a mutt, but it was like a dog that solved crimes or some crap.
With the long, it was kind of.
I don't remember what the dog now. I don't remember what the dog did now.
Me neither. That's
did you ever notice this? That there was this time in American history where, and in television, where no matter how bizarre or strange the main character or premise was, the only job they could ever get was solving crimes. Do you know what I mean? What is this? Well, this guy's an alien, and his pal is a robot, and this guy has four thumbs. What do? They solve crimes. Why do they never have a job in a paint store? Or like...
Because who would watch a show about people with guys
exactly.
in a paint store?
I guess. Maybe. Or...
Solving crimes has an element of intelligence and an element of action.
It's like
so
the Incredible Hulk.
The
He's a guy that turns green and has the superhuman strength and can throw cars. You don't think that could be interesting, that guy just working at a deli? You know?
What would cause
this is the worst
him?
Bagel I've ever had. You know, and then he's the counterman, and Hulk smash unruly customer. You no complain about locks. No, instead he's got to solve crimes. It's like Riptide. You remember the show Riptide?
Oh my God, yes.
See, Sarah doesn't remember Riptide. Now I'm talking about things I know you don't remember. Riptide, another fine production of Stephen J. Cannell Studios.
Well, and wasn't
Riptide that had a robot,
yeah.
right? It's
yeah,
like two guys on a boat and their geeky brother and a robot named Roboz. And what are they doing? The guy can
solving crime.
And see, this is the thing that doesn't make any sense. And it's not set in the future. It's not a sci-fi show. Riptide was a show starring Perry. Perry. What the hell was
Perry
that guy's
King.
Name? Perry King and other guy. And this sort of Bill Gates-looking bastard named Boz, who created a robot named Roboz. Now, here's the thing. It's just set in present day, which at the time would have been like 1986. They don't have any special powers. They're not millionaires. He's just a geeky guy who works in a lab with his Simon and Simon-type brothers who live in a boat, right? They have no money.
Which gives you the element of bikinis as well.
Of bikinis.
Because they're on the water.
And men in muscle shirts. But here's the thing. Is the brother on Riptide creates this robot that is so, that like talks, understands English sentences, can answer incomplete sentences, makes you breakfast, can fly, can do whatever, and yet they're still working minimum wage jobs, all of them, even though the brother has created something that modern science now 30 years later still can't create. He made it in his garage, but they're all still dirt broke and working at like a Waffle House somewhere. And yet, what's the best job they can get? Solving crimes and being shot at by guys in bad sport coats. The whole thing is just perplexing to me.
Right. And y'all need to stop bitching about turning 30.
All right.
30 is nothing.
You know, you give me a gravel boy sports guy, I could have done that Adam Carolla show. Listen to me.
The bitterness.
Listen to me riffing on pop culture just then. All I need to do is talk about pie a lot. That's it. I'm sorry, was that out loud? It's 503-733-2970. Are you sticking around or are you leaving?
Sure, I've got a few minutes on the meter.
Kristen from accounting is here. Later on, more from Tim Riley. Your phone calls. Jim Roop, Peter Carlin. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Sarah Dillon, 26 years old today.
Woo-hoo!
It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. It's AM 970, Selma State Radio. darndest thing. 503-733-2970.
I'm so glad somebody brought a camera for my birthday.
Are you going to post any of those? These pictures from your birthday?
Maybe.
Collectively.
Maybe this will be like the Zapruder film. Like, they'll accidentally be pictures of the fight happening in the background.
Ooh.
It'll be like the Loch Ness. Like, I was just trying to take a picture of a log, and then I noticed a wave. And, like, if you look in the background, you'll see Dave Krause, like, punching a guy.
That would
be like his fist just making contact.
I can't believe I missed that whole thing.
All right, 503-733-2970. Oh, it's the Rick Emerson Show. Coming up later on, CNN Radio, of course. But that's a great picture.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to post that.
I'll post that one.
Who's the chick on the left?
Oh, that's my friend Summer.
All right.
You were a big fan of Summer. You met her.
Was I?
I see your eyes light
up. She's very cute. She was kind of short.
I don't remember that.
Her and her boyfriend, we call them the Hobbits. They're just like this really cute, small little couple.
I do remember that. I remember her actually speaking in like Hobbit speak at one point during the evening.
She just took her little sister to a punk show.
She's
kind of
short. I kept stepping on her.
They're both very small. She was cute.
Yeah, she was standing behind me, and I kept stumbling into her. Really?
And she was really mad that I introduced her to you as a listener. She's like, how come you had to say I was a listener? I felt like an idiot.
Yes, be filled with shame when you listen.
I'm like,
don't listen.
Every time Rick meets a hot girl who listens to the show, I'm like, you're fine. He's very excited about it.
What does that mean?
I mean, you're excited that Summer is a pretty girl listening to the show.
Oh, no. I mean, it's okay, but it's not like the exception or anything.
No.
Okay.
I'm just confused.
You have lots of hot chicks that listen to the show.
No, it makes it sound like the women are all hideous. And so
no.
Whenever he meets a reasonably attractive woman who listens.
It's a bunch of smelly men.
No, how excited you are.
Oh, no, it's true, because, you know, it's further proof that I always say that we have, like, the hottest audience ever. So.
It is true.
No, it's very true. I'm a big fan of hers. Okay, I'm a big fan of that photo is what I am. You got to post that.
Okay.
All right, it's 503-733-2970. It's a Rick Emerson radio program.
Oh,
all right.
I think we have someone on the hotline.
All right, so here's what we'll do. We'll got more calls for Sarah here in just a second. It is Sarah's birthday. We are attempting to make her feel younger by listing things she can't possibly remember. Later on, we got Jim Roop who's going to be here, Peter Carlin as well. More from Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth. All right, is this Kiki?
I think it is.
All right, this is Kiki who was at Sabala's on Saturday when...
She consequently got thrown out too.
That's fantastic.
Ooh.
All right. So we started at at Nate's on Saturday for Sarah's birthday party, and then around 10 o'clock, you guys all went to Sabala's, right?
Yeah. Bad choice.
Because you all tried.
We tried to go to the space room, and we couldn't get in. It was like standing room only, and we wanted to go somewhere with some seating. So thankfully, there was some space over at Sabala's, so we went over there.
So you all in at Sabala's. Now, we didn't hear anything about the fight until this morning when Scotty J was talking to us, and he was like, "Did you hear those guys are getting into a fight?" And I said, "What?" And we've sort of got bits and pieces of this to come out. Sarah was like 5 feet away the whole night and didn't even notice it. So either the fight was over quickly, or Sarah was really drunk, or really distracted, or some combination. All of the above. So all we heard is that you were on the ground either punching someone or being punched.
No.
All right, what happened?
Okay, the fight broke out, and I see Delaine at the bar getting knocked down.
Hold on. Did that go?
It was.
All right, hold on. Let's start again.
Okay.
So...
I was going to tell you not to swear, too, but...
I forgot.
No, because it feels like you're just talking to your friend.
So... You see Delaine, who's going to be here later on, by the way. Delaine, who is, like, Sarah Dillon hot friend, like, number 47. So, she got knocked down or hit by somebody.
Yeah, I just saw her, because she was staying at the bar, and I saw her get taken down or whatever. So, after it all stopped, I was pretty
drunk. And so, were you going to go, like, settle the score?
Yeah, well, yeah, as a drunken friend, I thought I'd go yell at the guy which was stupid because it wasn't even the guy that started the fight. It was a guy that got attacked by the guy, and I felt really down afterwards. But,
So you just picked a guy at random to start a fight with?
It's the guy that was in the fight, but it wasn't the guy that started it.
The guy behind the guy. Okay.
Oh, okay.
And so when you go to start the fight with a guy... What form does that take? Is he just standing there minding his own business, and then you come up behind him?
He was just, like, all worked up about it or whatever. And then, so, I start yelling at him about it, and then he gets pretty mad and just starts going off. And then, so, my boyfriend's trying to grab me and, like, leave or whatever, and I just keep yelling at this guy. And then I guess his girlfriend, like, started yelling at me, and then all I remember is the guy at the bar being like, dude, like, you're done. And then, so I was like, I was so mad. And then, like, yeah, he literally, like, ran my bill and handed it to me. And I was like,
so who, okay, so at any point, though, were, did you get involved in, like, a physical confrontation?
No. I didn't even get pushed down or anything.
Okay, because we've had a couple people say, though, that you were, like, on the floor.
Weird.
There's a long pause there. It's like searching big blacked out swaths of memory.
Like I literally watched Elaine like get knocked into, and nothing happened to her. I mean, she didn't get hurt or anything, but yeah, I just saw her get like knocked out. Like a bunch of girls got, I mean, there was, you know, it was totally crowded. And that,
this is
that
all such a mystery to me. We have such conflicting versions of the story. This really is like the Kennedy assassination. There's just no way to figure out what really happened.
That's
here.
What makes it great.
Really, yeah.
I have no
I'm trying
that's
to reconstruct
to
this, and it's all so difficult. All right, so then your boyfriend kind of hauled you out and you all left?
Yeah, I definitely cut out. And I left my sweatshirt there, and yeah.
Somebody was carrying it around at the end of the night. I think it was Summer.
I picked up Lisa's sweater, but yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's all I remember.
Yeah, because I knew that was the one that you had sent back to you from California, and it was important.
Yeah,
to you. So she was carrying it around.
And California, and both bars sent them back to me, and now I can't even get it back in my own.
Yeah, you might want to call Summer. I think she was carrying it.
All right. Well, okay.
So anyway, that's all.
All right, Kiki. Thank you so much.
All right, I'll talk to you
later. There you go. There's Kiki. All right. Good God. All right, well, we're never going to get to the bottom of this. This is we'll never be able to figure this out.
I don't think Delaine remembers being knocked over because she never brought that up.
This is really like a Kurosawa film, you know what I mean? Just everybody's like shifting perspectives.
A different story from
like
every single person.
Seriously, it's like our own Southeast Rashomon. All right, let's get a couple of these calls here. Let's see. This is Frank. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
What's up, Frank?
Happy birthday, Sarah.
Thank you, Frank.
Hey, do you remember my little buddy? My buddy and me?
Yeah, well, I remember
you mean
my
your
buddy.
I'm sorry, that was beneath me.
And I remember Kid's sister.
I don't remember Kid's sister.
Yeah, she came along after my buddy.
Was Kid's sister a spin-off of my buddy?
Yes.
Yeah,
my buddy and me.
The girl version.
And it was the same song would go Kid's sister.
Okay, they couldn't even be bothered to write a new jingle.
Yeah.
The My Buddy thing was creepy to me.
Yeah.
Those were creepy commercials.
What about that show, Auto Man,
we'll get to in a second. Let's stay on My Buddy for a second. Because... Let's stay on my little buddy. The thing about my buddy that was creepy is that I understand that all dolls or things like that are sort of surrogate friends. I understand that. But, I mean, they were just really overt about it, and they would show the kid, and it was not like a baby. It was a kid who was like 8 or 9 riding like a big wheel with the My Buddy, and it was really sad because the subtext was, I'm a loser. No one likes me. I don't have real friends. Here's a doll. He's not real. You know, and it's like it was the kid clearly like having a plastic fake friend at an age when you really ought to be having real friends.
Yeah.
And it was an unnerving doll to me. And so, all right, let's talk Auto Man. Sarah,
Auto Man.
Do you remember Auto Man?
I do not.
Auto Man was a television...
Desi Arnaz Jr.
Really?
Yeah, Desi Arnaz Jr.
I mean, I remember the show, but I don't remember Desi Arnaz Jr. Really?
Yeah, Desi Arnaz Jr. was the lead guy, and he had a friend or
his sidekick.
That was, Cursor was the little thing that would turn into, like, the car.
Okay.
And it was a computer program that he designed for
Sarah, let's see if you can, see if you can
cops or something,
see if you
and
can
they solve crimes or whatever.
I was going to say, see if you can complete this sentence. Yeah, it's a spin-off of the movie Tron. He's like an electronic guy who drives a computerized car, and they... Solve crimes. With a little sidekick named Cursor. And it was totally a spin-off of Tron. Not a spin-off, but inspired by Tron. Bad, bad CGI. Like sub-Last Starfighter CGI.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Thank you, Frank.
No problem.
There you go. Frank, little drunk. Let's see. Ben. Ben, you're on the Rick Emerson. Ben, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
Thank you, Ben.
Oh.
Okay, do you remember the extreme neon green Juicy Fruit commercials?
I don't even remember that.
I don't think so.
The extreme sport Juicy Fruit commercials, you don't remember that, Rick?
There's a sport gum?
Shocking.
Exactly how is the gum extreme? Is it filled with glass?
Well, the commercials were extreme. You don't really, you don't remember that.
I'm sorry. Crucify me. I'm sorry. What? Describe.
Also,
please to be describing the extremeness of the commercials.
Oh, God, they had everything. They had the super downhill skiing, water skiing behind a remote control boat.
really.
The gum was skiing?
Juicy Fruit, it's gonna move ya, and...
Well, I remember the jingle. Sarah, can you sing the Juicy Fruit jingle?
I'm sure I could.
Come on.
I'm not gonna sing.
Prove it.
The taste is gonna move ya?
It was like a really sexual sounding,
the taste is gonna move
take a sniff, pull it out.
Yeah.
When you pop it in your mouth, repeat, yeah.
The taste is soft, it gets right through you or something like
to
that?
To you, I believe.
And also, Rainbow Bright.
Oh, I had many
Rainbow
Bright.
Bright. That was like a strawberry shortcake kind of a
and
thing,
I had
right?
her pony, her unicorn that had the rainbow striped legs, and it was squishy.
Glorious unicorns.
All right.
Great.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks.
All right, so you scored like 50%, so you knew like half of that stuff. All right, let's take a couple more of these, then we'll break. We'll come back with Tim Riley and Jim. Kristen, you want to weigh in at any point here?
With what?
I don't know.
I'm trying to remember.
We're doing our best to make Sarah not feel so aged.
Well, I'm 40. Isn't that enough?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I created and forgot to bring in because I'm retarded. I created the top five for today. It was going to be the top five songs for the day Sarah was born. So it's going to be from from October 9th, 1980. And then and I forgot to bring it, so I'll have to do that tomorrow. Let's see. Dan, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, I was just saying Buck Rogers.
Well, Buck Rogers, yeah, Buck Rogers, and also the original Battlestar Galactica. You don't remember Buck Rogers. But again, that's almost a guy thing. That's not even really an age thing.
Although Sarah knew the Star Trek beginning.
That is true. That's a weird question, actually. Did you watch Next Generation a lot?
Oh, yeah. I watched it every week.
You know, I know a lot of girls who did, actually. Not the original. A lot of girls I know watched Next Generation. I think it's because they had more. There were a lot of strong female characters on that show, too.
I watched it because my parents would always watch it.
And because it had Wesley Crusher?
I didn't really like Wesley Crusher. I liked William Riker.
Really?
Me too.
Until
I
started to get a little puffy in the later episodes.
Let me ask you this.
He's still a little puffy.
Is he still never deflated?
Rank the three hottest male characters in Star Trek: The Next Generation. Discuss.
Well, they can't do like Worf or Data.
Why not?
Data is.
I know chicks that are into Worf.
Data's hot.
That's wrong. Data's hot.
What's wrong?
He's just. I don't know.
It's just like a whole, I wouldn't want my sister to marry one kind
oh
of a
God.
Thing.
No, the big, like dinosaur-like forehead is kind of scary.
And the fact that,
that he's a killer, yeah.
Well, I
find Q kind of attractive.
Q is, and you know what it is?
Yeah.
And it's because he's got the sense of humor, too. Q can make you laugh.
Mm-hmm.
Chicks dig a guy
that can
make you laugh.
That's what we're all looking for.
No, I knew this girl, I won't say who she is, but she was a school teacher, and she had the biggest thing for Worf. It was kind of weird, actually.
What's the name of the Romulan guy with the big ears?
I don't know.
Remember?
I don't know the answer to that.
He had like the little pointy teeth.
You're not thinking of Quark.
Yes.
The Ferengi?
Ferengi, thank you.
He looks like the yellow bastard in Sin City.
He does. No, I'm not saying he's attractive, but I was trying to remember.
Okay,
who
I was going to say that's just weird.
No,
actually.
I'd say Q, William Riker, and
Picard.
Picard is number one.
There's something. He looks like my dad, kind of weird.
I saw him in person a bunch of times. We used to go to the same restaurant.
Was he handsome?
Jean-Luc Picard, Patrick Stewart.
He was a very striking older gentleman.
So many girls, you can just tell that guy just is up to his.
Is he married?
It's the voice.
No, I don't think so.
It's the voice.
Yes.
I'm saying in the abstract. I mean, I'm saying girls dig that guy. That guy, just awash in chicks who dig him. Because he's got everything. He's got the voice. And he's got a certain something. He's got
he has a certain stature.
It's a gravitas. You know, it's a presence. Who was I just watching the other day that is the same way? That has the same sort of just a presence? Well, you know, in a way... different way, Morgan Freeman is that way.
I was just going to say Morgan
Same
Freeman.
Same thing, it's like a stateliness. Completely.
And you know, I would watch Boys in the Hood yesterday and Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh, there is, totally, yeah. Too. Oh. Kudis! Yeah, no, that Lawrence Fishburne, totally. That guy, again, has just got like, it's just a something. He's just got a charisma to him. And it's a lot of women don't really have that typically, that sort of powerful presence. Like, I can't think of a lot of women
Lucy
that have that.
Lucy Liu has that.
You think?
I'd say, well, every time, like, even in, you know, in Kill Bill, when she kind of stands, she is kind of intimidating, and she is a small girl, but she holds her own.
She's got that quiet rage kind of thing.
You know
underneath.
Who has? I think Glenn Close has it.
Oh,
Glenn Close is sort of, she looks at you, and you just, you shut up, and you pay attention. Glenn Close has totally got that.
Who was in The Devil Wears Prada? Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep.
Yes.
Can I just tell you that I find her hot? Hot, always have, especially when she was young and really, really pretty. Like, you go back and watch Manhattan, the Woody Allen film.
Mm-hmm.
so gorgeous there. But even like in Devil Wears Prada, guys may think that's weird. But she's one of those women that women typically find good looking and the guys don't. Gwyneth Paltrow.
She's not sticking her bangs out all the time.
And I think she's hot, and I think maybe that's just because she's just so obviously just so brilliant and great. And yeah, I love Meryl Streep.
That's why guys don't like her, because she's too smart.
Oh man, I dig Meryl Streep. I really do. All right, let's see here. Well, let's do like one more here, and then we'll take a break. Hey, Scotty, who should I take today? Right here, next, rather. This is line three. I so old, Sarah. That's all it says. Scotty J. Which line should I take, Scotty?
Four.
Two.
Oh, really? Well, that's a long... That call is too long. Can I take that on the other side? All right, I'll take this guy, and then we'll take... we have some sad news.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but is it his?
Is it his?
Well, we'll find out. We'll find out. This is a guarantee is what we're doing right now. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello there.
Hey, here. Rick, this is I just wanted to call and say happy birthday to Sarah.
Oh, thank you, Steve.
And I was wondering, I've been in and out of my car because I'm delivering, of course. And did you guys cover the Sid and Marty Krofft after-school specials like Dr. Shrinker, Electro Woman, and Diamond Girl?
The Krofft Superstar.
No, I didn't watch that.
I can sing the Dr. Shrinker theme song.
Do it.
Okay.
He's a madman with an evil mind.
Dr. Shrinker. Dr. Shrinker. He's as crazy as you'll ever find out. Ba, 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 ba.
That's a niche production company. They make DVDs for that.
Really?
Show.
Shrinkies are shrunken 5 days away. Will they ever be so small? Will they be lucky and get away? You know,
it's really nothing without being able to see the visual of
bobbing back and forth
along.
You know, just don't get enough Billy Barty anymore.
Boy, isn't that the truth?
Love you, Billy Barty.
He's a long time. Billy Barty dead a long time. And Mormon. Here's the thing about Sid and Marty Krofft, Land of the Lost. Now let me just tell you this: at CD Game Exchange, I bought seasons 1 and 2. Season 3 of Land of the Lost is kind of whack because they start having... I'm using the old lingo. I'm using the old 80s and 90s lingo for you. It's wiggity, 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 whack. No, because they started ending every episode by having Wesley sing a song about what they learned. And it was a lot of like... And those evil sleestacks, but we worked together and we overcame. So he started singing at the end of that. So avoid season 3. Season 1 of Land of the Lost is just as good as you remember it, though. I'm telling you, man, it's just as good. Because a lot of those shows don't hold up. I bought season 1 of Land of the Lost. It's genius. Still fantastic.
The Rise of Chaka, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't really care for the Bakuni-centered episodes, but it's a great show. It really is still legitimately very great.
Okay, well, I just wanted to help her feel a little younger, because they got to be older, remember, though.
Oh, man. You know
the theme song. Right?
And Sid and Marty Krofft, still around. Still around, my friend. Still raking in those fat royalty checks, too. Here's the thing, so you know, someday I'm going to record a hit rock and roll album one of these days in an alternate life, and I swear to God, the bonus track is going to be that closing theme song from Land of the Lost. You know what I'm talking about. All right, there you go. That's Steve.
Thank you.
Thank you. No, sir. Thank you. Kristen, parting thoughts? Final thoughts?
Happy birthday, Sarah.
Thank you. We'll have cocktails later.
Yes, we will.
All right. Kristen from accounting, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you for my sparkly earrings.
You're very welcome.
All right. Let's see. When we get back here, we have sad news. I have sad news for you today, friends.
It's not, that's unfortunate.
Yes. It's not about anybody Amish, but still. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Also, Jim Roop, later on, Peter Carlin, and more from the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley. Sarah Dillon's 26th birthday, by the way. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.